Welcome to Electrify, the video show and podcast for electricians only, with your hosts Paul Abernathy and Jay, the Basement King Grunberg. Sit back and enjoy the show. What up, everybody? Welcome to a special live stream of Electrify. My name is Paul Abernathy, one of your hosts, and with me, as always, my co-host, cohort in crime, all the way from Colorado, it's the Basement King himself, Mr. Jay Grunberg. Jay, welcome, as always.
What up, what up? Happy Sunday, everybody out there is joining us, and good to be back. And man, it feels a little different being on a stream on Sunday, but you know, I like it.
Yeah, I mean, we stream at any time, any place. Make sure you subscribe to all of our platforms, whether it's YouTube, whether it's Facebook, whether it's LinkedIn, whether it's Twitch. Twitch is pretty cool, but Twitter, yeah, you can actually watch us over on Twitter. But remember, it's a power director. But remember, you can't chat on Twitter. They got to fix that.
Gotcha.
And then someday, Jay, we might even live stream on Instagram and Twitch. But since they're really mobile platforms, if I use a software to send us to the Instagram, that's actually a violation of their terms of agreement. So they could end up kicking you off, right? So right now they think their best platform is the phone. Eventually they'll change that and then we can add them. So that's up. Okay, so.
Heck yeah. Yeah, what's up, everybody? Hey, Rombo just came in from lunch. He said we're on. Yeah, we're not. We're actually on for a good reason this time. We're not messing around. We're actually going to have a good topic today. It's going to be something that just recently happened to Wired Up and myself. And so, Rombo, I know you got to head out. He says he can't stay long. He's got a service to put up quickly. Hey, brother, put that in, man. Get power back on.
Make that money, bro. Make that money. Mm-hmm. Okay. There you go. Working on a Sunday. That's what I'm talking about. Gotta make that money. All right. So, anywho, let's see here if I can. Let's see if something. Hold on for a second.
No, Schwartz, what's happening, brother? Good to see you, man. I still got your hat and your gloves. I'll be sending off next week, so I got those. Bill Snyder, what's up, brother?
Yeah, we're gonna get all that. We're gonna get all that stuff straight here eventually on all this shipping stuff. So, all right. Yeah. So anyway,
bear with it.
So tonight's topic, or today's topic, I should say, special Sunday edition, we're gonna be talking about something that happened to Jay. But it could actually happen to any of you. It could actually happen to any of you that have, employees that have vehicles. Anything that happens that, like what we're going to talk to today, especially when you're on a holiday, it sucks. Because Jay is going to tell you what it's done, what it requires, how he's got to have help from others, his wife, who's an integral part of the company. It's just a pain in the... Okay, so Jay's going to fill us in. So Jay, take it away and kind of tell us from the beginning what you've had to experience, because we want other people out there to learn from this and experience and things like that. So take it away and kind of fill us all in.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. So it was Friday morning. I receive a call. It's around 6 o'clock. 6:15-ish in the morning from one of my crew leads, Jay Shun. And he has one of the vans. He's probably the newest crew lead that we have, but he's had his license now for about 6 months, I believe. So he's been in the role for quite a while. And I get this call and you can just tell he's down and out, right? I mean, he's upset. He's very frustrated. He's very emotional, should I say, on this phone call. And I'm thinking like, oh man, my first thought was maybe he got in an accident, because a lot of people do that. They get very emotional when they're in an accident, and I'm just like, hey man, you know, breathe, talk to me. I'm just getting up myself because I have a job walk at 8 o'clock, so I'm starting to get my morning going. You know, I haven't even had a cup of coffee yet, you know, and he's just on the other end, and I'm just like, breathe, man, talk to me, what's going on? And finally he's like, you know, I don't know how to say this to you, but the van got robbed, you know, and instantly I'm just like, okay, what do you mean robbed? Like, kind of talk to me about this.
So, you know, Jay, you know, the first thing that people say that, you know, some people out there that aren't, I mean, you're a business owner and you're a growing business owner and you hear from somebody that you got robbed. Some people say, oh, you got insurance, bro. But that's not going through your mind, right? That is not going through your mind when this goes on, because in your mind, you're thinking, all right, I just got robbed, and what happened? I mean, you're not thinking, don't worry about it, because now you got a guy who can't go to work. He can't go to the job site. So tell us your thoughts. Get deeper into your thoughts the moment that, you know, once you establish that he's okay, he didn't get hurt, all right, he's not injured, he didn't have a wreck. Give me the thoughts in your mind immediately. You didn't think about insurance. You're just thinking, crap, what did they get, right?
Yeah, so instantly I'm thinking, okay, what happened to the van? You know, is there damage to the van, right? Like, again, I'm not asking him all these questions. I just tell him, plain and simple, come on in, right? Like, I'm not asking him what happened right then and there, because he's very emotional. So I figured just, hey, get the van, get your butt down to the shop. Let's talk about it and go over what happened then. But in my mind, I'm thinking, crap, I just spent $6,000 on a new transmission in this van last week.
Oh, so that's right. So you had an issue with, we were just talking about that. So that's that exact same van that, you know, he had problems with. And then all of a sudden you had to do a whole new transmission for drop $6,000 in it. And so it's the same vehicle, folks, that got robbed.
Yep. And so, you know, again, some people believe things happen in threes, and that was, you know, the second of the three, supposedly. You know, so anywho, what's going through my mind is, crap, you know, we just dumped $6,000 into the van. I'm thinking of the schedule, right? Because he's supposed to be at a job at a certain time today. So I get a hold of his helper. I call him up. I'm like, hey, bro, listen, Jay Sean's not going to be there in the morning. Right away, go ahead and start boxing this basement out, kind of do what you can do. And then it's like, okay, well, just breathe, you know, because I'm not too frustrated. I'm not too upset. The last thing I wanted to do in that moment was yell at Jay Sean, you know, because again, he's already emotional. This stuff has happened. It's yelling at people. It's not going to make the situation better.
Yeah, it's not going to solve anything. In getting overly emotional and yelling, it has happened. And, you know, it's hard for us to do that because we're so emotionally driven. Now, you're way more even keeled than I was probably at your age in my company, because everything would set me off because my mind wasn't thinking insurance. My mind was thinking, dude, in yours, you had $6,000 in the vehicle, but also you lost it. My mind's thinking, what the, you know, and I'm freaking out. I get it. You're way more level-headed than I probably was. I had to learn over time. You get the benefit of, you know, you have that natural demeanor that's easygoing. I mean, I was always really just high-strung. So you handled that perfect. He's already felt bad enough. It's obvious that he felt bad enough. I think you told me when you called, because you know you called me that morning. And
I did.
And told me about it. And he said that he was so upset and distraught. You know, that, you know, I can imagine it. Okay.
So. Yeah. People on the chat, I'll kind of address them real quick as I get going. Bill Snyder, that happened to Seth Peterson. Yeah. He hit me up because I did a Facebook kind of, alert out there. Cause this is that season. Old hog. I've been robbed so many times over the decades. I've lost count. Yeah. I mean, again, I reached out to people who own their own companies, who work for larger companies, whether it's commercial or residential, because being in business for 7 years now, This is our major. This is our first major hit. Now, I've had incidents where I've caused the company money, and we'll talk about those on another episode, right? But you know, I've never been robbed like this. I've never just had someone open up a sliding door of a van and within 2 minutes take $6,000 worth of tools, and it was just tools.
So let's talk about that for a second. So your vans have an alarm system on them.
So my, not all of them do. Most of my vans, they have, like that van in particular had, I thought it had an alarm system, but it just has a lock, you know, like a lock. And I'd have to talk to Jalissa, but I think it's just, so it's instant, just a, you know, on just, your keypad, a lock.
So just a normal auto lock like all cars have. So you had no audible alarm on there. That one didn't have any audio. It's just a lock. However, that does lock the sliding doors. That does lock right. All the doors. So is it fair to say that the employee, and again, I'm not putting anything anywhere. I'm just saying, is it fair to say he left it unlocked when he went to sleep?
Yes. Okay. And we had that discussion with him that morning. The wife, who again, I had to wake her up at 6:30 because, you know, she's sleeping next to the baby, and it's a situation where, you know, my instinct is like, okay, well, let's go out to Home Depot. Let's just get what you need to get the day going, because I have a certain schedule I have to meet. So I'm like, hey, man, let's just keep going. You know what I mean? Let's just keep going. But I had to stop myself from doing that. I had to do it the right way. And by doing it the right way, it means I have to go through the proper steps, even being a business owner. So the first thing I do is I wake up the wife and I'm like, babe, you know, we got robbed. And she flies out of bed. She's like, what happened? You know, like, and then she's in tears, you know, because again, this is tools that are provided from over the time of us putting in the hard work. And so I get her out of bed and she's crying. She has mixed emotion. She's, you know, instantly her mind's going a million different ways. Like, what the heck? And then we get Jay Sean in here. And again, this isn't a blow to him. He's a great guy. It's just, this is an open discussion about what's going on. And it happened to be him at the helm. So he comes in and we discuss everything of what's going on, and we noticed there wasn't any damage to the van, to the sliding door, thank God, or to the back, because there's no windows on the shell of it, on the pretty much, you know, you have your driver's side and your passenger window, but anything from that part back, that vehicle has no windows. And so, you know, then he came in and we noticed there wasn't any markings. So we were like, hey, is it possible that it was, you know, left unlocked? And he was honest and said, yeah, you know, it was. And so now we're going through the insurance claim and all that stuff.
So in all fairness, my vehicle, even since I've been here in Texas, has been broken into one time. And sadly, in all fairness, I went in and forgot to lock the truck. Yep. It was me. So there are people that, you know, it's unfortunate that it's around Christmas, but obviously as a contractor, a van is a rolling money maker for a thief, right? They see this work van. They probably know it, who's using it. It's probably, I will say the people that probably broke into it probably know the person or know your employee or just kind of watch those things. But they do go through neighborhoods pulling on doors. Now, I have caught people on the Ring cam that we have. Now, in my house, I have a driveway monitored, backyard monitored, interior rooms monitored, other parts, as you can imagine, being a techno geek, I've got video cameras everywhere. Not in the bedroom, though. Get mind out of the gutter, people out there. You're not going to see Paul in some voyeur video somewhere. I know this is appealing, but you're not. So I've actually seen them go up and pull the doors. It just so happened, you know, what dumb luck, bad luck. That night, I forgot to lock the truck. Now, that doesn't mean people won't break something, break everything, blah, but you know what? Thieves are quick, right? They want to get in and out. if they go check doors, they're typically they're working on percentages. So they're just hitting the neighborhoods real quick. They don't want to spend a whole lot of time in one place, yeah. right? Now, the difference to that is if it's a place where you park and it's dark and it's, you know, but we have lights that stay on. So I'm a big proponent. And everybody remembers that back years ago, I was a private investigator. I owned a private investigative firm. Even though I was doing electrical, I owned it because I was helping another person establish themselves so they could open their own PI firm. But I had it, and we used to do a lot of cases. And when we looked at valuation in history, it's a no-brainer to leave your lights on. I have the ring with the lights, and it's set to motion, so the lights. But we have it so from 7 o'clock in the evening until in the morning, 6 a.m. in the morning, the lights stay on out there. And it shines on the vehicle. So it's a deterrent, if you will, right? So, you know, but so, I mean, they are deterrent. But the point being is I had it break in, and it was specifically because I left it unlocked, and it just happened to be a wave where they were hitting the neighborhood, and there you go.
Yeah, I've been there too, man. I've left my vehicle unlocked several times, whether it was when I was in a van, when I was the lead in the van, or whether it's my truck outside my house. So again, it's not that I'm upset that obviously we need to lock them up, and that's one thing, because what happens is an incident happens like this, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, how do we prevent it right now, right away? What can we do? You know, and the biggest thing was the wife ended up calling all the other individuals that have vehicles, company vehicles, and just like, hey, you know, because we could have done an email, but she called them up directly and was like, hey, this just happened to this guy. Let's make sure it doesn't happen to us anymore. You know, and everybody's just confirming that they're locking their vans, and I'm pretty sure the crew lead that this happened to, he's going to lock his van probably, you know, a little bit more. And I think we're going to move into getting alarm systems on the vans, and we might even look into getting cameras. But again, this stuff, listen, it's so quick to say, hey, you should have had this stuff on your vehicles. You should have had this already. Listen, man, I'm still paying on 3 of these vehicles.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm still paying, you know, I still got to keep up with my payroll. I got to keep up with the supply houses. I'm not struggling by any means, and that's not what I'm saying. And Rombo, I appreciate the pool and stuff like that, but I don't need to. I got this, man. God's taking care of us, and my wife's doing the proper steps. And,
yeah, see, and we're so good. Jay knows, I already offered. You know, when we talked to pay for all of his stuff and get it back. You know, it's not that he didn't have it. It's you know, he's a friend. And, you know, that type of thing. But I knew, see, he's got insurance like a business has to have. He's got all that stuff. He's got the resources. I think it's really, in reality, it's the point, right? It's the point that somebody could break in. And so talking about that, Jay, they only stole the tools. And they stole your pack outs, right? And they stole your tools, the Milwaukee. Okay. I mean, so that's all replaceable, right? All replaceable. Yeah, so everything can be replaced, but it's just the moment that it hits you. You know what I'm saying? That you have $3,000 worth of power tools, which I think somebody said in the chat is going to be literally pawned off for pennies on the dollar. That's the part that sucks.
Yeah, I don't even think, Paul, that it's more of the value of the tools in a money sense than it is the value of the tools being used on the job. And our, you know, it has kind of sentimental value to us, right? It's not sure. Just, oh, it was an 18 volt drill that cost $300. See, just go replace it.
See Swartzy's comment. That's probably what you mean right there. It's the fact that you feel violated. Those were your tools. You need them on a job. Now you have a day. Not only are you out of tools for this employee that's still on the payroll, by the way, but now can't produce any work because he doesn't have any tools. And so it's a cumulative thing. It's just, and you're like, you know, it sucks. It doesn't matter that everything can be replaced, right? It's just you feel violated and somebody would do that. And you know what? sadly, there are so many people out there who want the cheap route, who want to be thieves and steal things. They don't want to earn it themselves. I earned everything, and I'm sure with you the same way. I don't want any handouts. I always think of somebody helping me as a hand up, not a handout. So people can help people. That's all what it's all about. But at the end of the day, the sheer thought that somebody broke into my stuff, stole my stuff, and they have no remorse over it, they could care less. It's just, you know. Now, what if you are somebody who's a sole proprietor, Jay, that was their livelihood, and they don't have insurance for that? How could that devastate your company right here at the holidays?
Yeah, you know, that's actually a good point. After it was all said and done, after I talked to you that morning, after I, you know, did my job walk, after the crew lead that it happened to was here and he took off, you know, we had some tools here to get him through the day. It just kind of sunk into me, man. And I thought about that. I talked to the wife. I said, babe, how lucky are we that it happened in a time that we do have the insurance, we do have the resources, we do have, you know, things to help out to replenish that van, to keep things going that day. What if this would have happened to us when we first started, you know, the first 2 or 3 years where it was just myself, you know, and that, and I just got to thinking about, cause I put a, you know, alert out on Facebook, Bill, Seth, a couple other people responded. I did do one on Instagram and I got some kickback, you know, from some guys, and it's happened to people that are in that situation where they are the sole proprietor of the company and they don't have a second, you know, they don't have a second setup to put out there. That is the one setup is their only setup. And I just, happened.
And even if you had insurance, anybody that's worked with insurance knows that they're not cutting you a check right now. You have to, so talk about that. Talk about the fact that you had to get your wife up, who by the way, if y'all know, they're very much a family team. That's what I love about them, is Jalissa now, which is his wife, which is this, I guess, office manager, you know, all of those things, all of the above, the in-house accountant, everything, now has the task of having to deal with the insurance and paperwork. And tell us a little bit about the extra burden it puts on Jalissa. Because you know what? I think all too many times out there, we forget that our other half has these burdens that we have to place on them. So sometimes we have to offload some of our burden onto somebody else. We still have the burden, but they have to help. So how did this burden affect Jalissa?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. Like you said, we tend to just think about us, how it affects me directly, right? Just me and not everybody else. But I try to think about how it affects the other people. And how it affects Jalissa was when I woke her up that morning, her emotions were like a roller coaster. You know, she was sad. She was angry. She was mad. And then, you know, after she took it, you know, she took it personal because this is our stuff. This is our business. This is what we work hard for. And usually Fridays is her day off. You know, she works really hard from Monday to Thursday. And I mean, she does a little bit of stuff in the office on Friday, but not much. And so then to wake up to this, it was devastating to her. So after all the emotions happened, after the crew lead came here, I had one of my other leads, who is my warehouse manager. He was here, and thank God he was here, because not only was he taking in deliveries on the warehouse side of things, Jalissa had to delegate. You know, she has the baby. I'm out on a job walk. I mean, guys, this is real life stuff, man. This is happening to us.
That's a lot going on. That's a lot going on. I mean, Jalissa's trying to raise kid. Y'all got a teenager as well. Running the business, small business startup that is now growing with multiple trucks and really getting established and working hard. And I can tell you, as any business owner, everybody immediately thinks, oh, we got all that going on that we're rich. No. That's not we have overheads, burdens, things like that to take care of. And this is just one more stressful thing that gets thrown into the mix as an owner. You know, and sometimes the employees look at it and go, ah, don't worry about it. He makes enough money. He's got insurance. I don't like employees like that. I never did like employees like that. It sounds to me like your employee called in was generally upset. And to me, that's genuine. Because if I had had an employee call in and he was like, oh, man, and he had said something like that guy told me that time is I can't see it from my house. Any smart aleck remark like that, it would affect me differently. But you said that he has very even emotions when he called you. He was upset and that type of thing. So, but it's just my thoughts on that. But you were saying that the person that's in-house had just done inventory of the vehicles, right?
Yeah, that's right. And so he had a sheet, a list, which actually this is kind of crazy how it all works out like this. He had a sheet of everybody's vans within the last month and a half. And so within that last month and a half, nothing's really changed in right. in the inventory. So Jalissa, back to what she was doing, was she instantly got a hold, you know, she called the police. She had to do a police report. Now the crew lead's here, and my other guy, Jameson, J-Mo's in the house. He was doing the inventory for, you know, our next week deliveries. And so Jalissa's like, hey, J-Mo, stop what you're doing. Now the insurance, because now we've done the police report. Now we're on to the insurance. Jalissa's talking with the crew lead who it happened to. She's calming him down. He's kind of at a state of awe how she's not, you know, so upset. Well, inside we are upset. Sure. Believe me, we were upset. It's not at him. We were upset at the fact that it happened to us. And like everybody else in this chat, that it's either happened to or they've seen it. It's the violation portion that we're upset about, right? It's something that we can't believe it happened. You know, it's like that thing that you don't really think it happens until it happens to you, right? You hear about it for everybody else. So back to what they were doing in-house was Jalissa asked J-Mo, she said, pull up that sheet that was on Jay Sean's van. Let's talk to him about, and so Jay Sean and J-Mo kind of collectively got together. They gave a list of what was missing. And then we had some few tools here. So we put it back in his van and we sent him on the way. It didn't sound like he wanted to work that day. Obviously he's very emotional. Something happened to him. But as a business, we were like, hey man, we still need you, buddy. Like, you're right. A very important part of this team, you know, and you're going to have to fight through it. I know it sucks, but, you know, as much as it sucks to us, it sucks for you. You know, you pull your big boy pants up just like we're doing and let's move on. And so he left, and then we had J-Mo sit at my desk where I'm at right now, and he had a list of the items, the tools that were stolen, and he had to go to Home Depot and match all the pricings for it.
Okay. And so you did, you called the insurance and filed the claim?
Yep, that's correct. Yep, Jalissa did all that.
And so how did they give any idea of how long before they reimburse you, or they got to wait for a police report, or did you get them a police report, or do you know yet what is that Jalissa handling it? Do you know the process of insurance? Because I personally have never had to file a claim like that for stolen property.
Yeah, we did the police report. And then from there, because we had to have the police report number, you know, it has to have like an identification number tied to it, the case number. We called the insurance. That was one of the things they needed for us to continue the process, right, was the police report. So we gave them that case number. And then Jalissa went down the line. Pretty much we have an X amount of dollar for a deductible, and it covers, I believe it's like $5,000 worth. It's very new to us too. We've never done this before. So
there's a chance that you had a $5,000 max on tools with a $500 deductible. So $3,000 worth of a claim, you're going to get reimbursed $2,500. You got to pay the $500 deductible. I mean,
Just in general, yes. And for us, it's going to be a $500 deductible, and the tools that we had were about 6,000. So we're going to see if they, because we have to show now, here's the other process, right? So you get the insurance claim going. You got a guy in my chair dialing up all the numbers to the items that were stolen, the inventory, you know, he's got to put a price to it. Sure. And now Jalissa's on the other side going, okay, now I have to find receipts. I have to pull up all the receipts and print them off because you have to show proof that you pay for these items that you're reporting that were stolen.
Hey, you know what? I didn't think about that. So if you've got your case, your tools are fairly new. So if you did have to do an insurance claim and they're going to want to know receipts for these things, they won't take your word for it. Like, oh, well, I had this. And then there's probably depreciation. They're probably going to talk depreciation and stuff. So that's going to be a problem. So yeah, if I don't have current list of tools, that will suck. I can only imagine Jalissa's burden at this point, having to deal with that crap, which is unfortunate. So
yeah, she's been going through a lot, man. I mean, there was just a lot going on right then and there. And luckily we had the guys in the office or JMO was in the office to help out. And by the time I got back from my job walk, because again, I still have to, you know, do my daily tasks.
Sure.
They're already way ahead of me, you know, and in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, let's start calling pawn shops, you know, let's start getting a hold of Craigslist. Let's just keep trying to follow up to see if we could get this stuff back. And at the end of the day, it's kind of a lost cause. I mean, we're doing the right steps. There's to get it back the way that we can for our insurance policy. But there's nothing, you know, you can't just go and do a stakeout the next night and try to get revenge. Again, I want that, but I got to be realistic and
right.
A realist and realize it's probably gone. You know, the stuff's gone, man.
Yeah. So hopefully, at the end of the day, because of deductibles and because of maximums, you know, people don't realize that. So even people out there who say, well, you had insurance, in this case, you're still going to probably end up paying, because once you meet the deductible, there's still a cap. So it's going to cost you $500, provided you have all the receipts. If the total ends up being $6,000, if their cap is $5,000, you're going to lose $1,000. And you're going to lose the $500 deductible. So you're going to be $1,500 out of this application. So no company wants to take a hit for anything, right? Period. So at the end of the day, when those out there that say, ah, but you had insurance. No, there's certain things that are covered by insurance. And then there's tools and things like that, that usually have a cap on it. And you never really think about it, because what do you set your cap at? Your insurance might list it at $5,000. Another company might have it at $10,000. You know, it just sucks, you know? And yeah. And like Jason says in the chat, the sucky thing about insurance, period, is it's this necessary evil. We get health insurance in the event that we hope that we don't get sick, but if we do, we need insurance, so we have to pay for it. We get car insurance, but we spend all the time hoping we don't get into an accident, so we don't use it. And in your case, you have business insurance and you're hoping you don't ever have to use it, but we have to pay for it, because ultimately at the end of the day, what happens? Like Jason says, when you make a claim, the daggone premium goes up. So it's one of those I hate insurances. It's kind of like homeowners insurance. If you get something happen on your home and you file a claim and you think that your homeowner insurance has it, guess what? Your premium goes up. So you're like, I don't want to use it, but I got to have it. It's terrible. That's a terrible thing. Now, some of the insurances today have this like forgiveness thing. That's great. If you have a forgiveness thing on yours or your whatever your insurance has. But, you know, it sucks. The whole insurance thing just sucks. But, you know, you got to have it. But then you're hoping you never use it. Right?
Yeah, and I don't know if we're required to have a certain amount of insurance. Obviously, you have your $1 million insurance. You have your workman's comp. You have that, but I don't think you're required to have tool stolen insurance. And that's something that Jalissa was like, thank God that we still kept this, you know, because again, it's X amount of dollars a month, you know, to have this type of insurance. And thank God that we did have this, because you don't expect these things to happen. And then once they do happen, it's like, crap, man, what do we do? So a lot of these questions that you guys have and you have, Paul, we're just going to have to find out when the process happens, you know, and we'll keep you guys up to date. Maybe we'll do another one or two episodes as this goes and follow-ups. But right now I can tell you there's about, between Jameson's time, which was about 4 hours on Friday, Jalissa's time between Friday and now was about 8 hours. So that's 12 hours. My crew lead, who it happened to, is about 4 hours right there. So you're looking at 16 hours right now already invested into this claim from the stolen material that happened. And we're not even halfway there yet. I mean, we are. We've submitted it now. Now we're on the tail end of going, okay, how much are they going to reimburse us? And also, then what? Now you got to go find these tools again, right? So I'm stuck in the kind of a pickle, going, okay, do I try to get them from Home Depot where I got them before, which is fine. I don't mind that, but you're not going to find everything at one Home Depot. So there goes another 2 to 4 hours of just driving around plus gas, trying to get all this material or all these tools back that were stolen. I'm not going to try to piece it together crazily. Like I want to deal here. I got to get this stuff and get out. So I think what I'm going to do is get a hold of some of the people I know on social media who sell tools at a lower cost.
Well, don't they have, it's a holiday. So I remember that we had the Black Friday tool specials, tool deals, things like that. Obviously it behooves you to look and try to, find the best deals, obviously, that you can, that type of thing. You know, it'd be really awesome, as much as you promote Milwaukee, and you really are a Milwaukee person, reach out. Maybe somebody from Milwaukee will watch our show on a rebroadcast and reach out to you, a representative or something, and get you something at cost to kind of get you back. That would be awesome. They give those things out all the time as demos. So, or also as giveaways. So again, probably don't have that Milwaukee following, but if anybody ever hears this stream after it's done and rebroadcast it, tag it in social media, put at Milwaukee Tools, and maybe they'll watch and help you out. But definitely, I know you're going to be looking for the deals. Definitely any of the, the Christmas deals, or anything like that to get you back going again. But again, I'm just thinking, it's much easier if you ultimately end up $1,500 out of pocket. It's so much better than being $6,000 out of pocket, right? Ultimately. I did have one guy tell me one time that he says, when it comes to the vehicle insurance, the vehicle rider, he says that he just put that certain amount of premium in a bank and kept it and put it in there each month and let it kind of stack for that kind of event rather than paying the premium for that. Because you can break down your premium, and let's say it was $25 extra a month for the tool part. In his mind, he's like, I just put that $25 in an account each month because I'm paying it for insurance anyway. So ultimately, that gets to a certain level in a year that you could pay for the tools just right out using that rather than giving it to your insurance. And so there's many ways to do it. That type of thing. But, thank goodness that you've been paying for it, and hopefully they won't give you any problem. Cause I think, like Bill said earlier, they're never going to make you whole 100%. Insurances are always going to want to get something out of it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And for it to be our first claim in 7 years is a true blessing too. Cause I've on social media and even here in this chat, you hear of it happening to people like Old Hog over and over and over and over again. And this is our first time. So we're just very thankful. You know, guys, I'm not asking for any type of kickback or anything like that. I just want to put it out there that it does happen to us, man. And being a small business owner, it sucks. It hits you in certain different ways.
So let me address this question, Seth. Yes, I have been an electrical contractor multiple times. You must be new to the stream. Me and my brother started AA Electric for years. I went on to open my own Electrical Service Specialists Incorporated, ran that for years, grew up a pretty decent-sized contracting business, did a lot of high-end homes. When we're talking about putting money aside, the point was, if you're paying for tool insurance and the premium on that rider is 25 more to your premium or 50 more to your premium, some people say, if I'm going to pay that anyway, that I put that aside and use that money and let it grow. And then if I did have a theft, I could use that money to pay it. It does take it time to grow. But if you're still paying out that money each month in your insurance, at least you have it there. You have to make that decision as a business owner. So sometimes I couldn't afford the premium, but I could afford to set a little money aside. But I was my own contractor. I started, and so I've been there. So I think a lot of people think when I do these things and I teach code that I never walked in those shoes. It doesn't take you long to Google it, okay? So I've been there. I've had a company. I grew a company from nothing and owned multiple companies. So I've been an electrical contractor. In fact, I still am an electrical contractor in the state of Texas, right there, okay? I just choose not to do it anymore because, one, I'm getting too old. Two, I do other things. And three, I've had my time as a contractor. I'm not going to go back to doing that. That's why I helped Jay. So he doesn't have to go into all the pitfalls that I might have gone into. If we can help him, everybody helps everybody. But I've been there and done that, and I know money's tight. And I know there was a time when I didn't get paid anything. The company got paid. My employees got paid. Everybody got paid, but I didn't get squat. Okay? So been there, done that, wrote the book. That's the point of that.
To Seth's point, though, it's hard to keep money in the bank sometimes. I feel that 100%, Seth, especially putting that money aside. You know, sometimes we have to take a couple hits like we're doing now in order to, you know, maybe build a, I don't know, better future for if it ever happens again. You know, again, people are like, oh, you could have put money in the bank. You could have had a security camera. You could have had alarms. You could have this. You could have that. You could have this. Yeah, well, guess what? If I could have hit the lottery, I wouldn't have to worry about any of this BS.
Yeah, and if you hindsight.
Know? But that's
and
a big what if.
Like, and if hindsight's 2020, you would have alarm or you would have something.
Right. I mean, you know. But then again, you don't really know until it happens to you. And sometimes you have to learn on the fly because there's besides just theft, there's so many other things that in a business that you have to take in consideration that it's impossible to take it all in at once, especially if you don't have an investor that you and I have talked about this before. I don't have an investor. You know, I'm the sole owner of Wired Up. Jalissa helps me. Eventually, I want to go 50-50 with her. It just happens that when I applied for it, it was a simpler process just to put me on the business as the sole owner.
Sure.
And we didn't even know if it was going to make it, right? Like, we didn't even know if the first basement was going to pay us when we used our rent money, all of our rent money to buy material for that basement. We didn't know if that contractor was going to pay us back what they needed to pay us back, and luckily they did, you know? And so that's another story for another day, but talk about putting all your eggs in one basket. You don't know. And until you learn these experiences and you can relate to them and have conversations with people that it's happened to, you don't think about it. And so,
sure.
You know, it is what it is. We're going to bounce back. You know, I know I place my faith in a higher power than what's here on this earth. So I know I'm covered in that instance, but we do have to do the proper steps, and we're going to do it the right way. No retaliation, no bad feelings. I don't even want anything bad to happen to the people that took it. I just hope they don't take it from anybody else. That's all, right. Man.
You know,
some people aren't as fortunate as us.
The only thing that you can look at it at this perspective on it is, and you're that kind of guy. Me, I don't know. Sometimes I can be very, I got to be vindicated. But you're sitting, you know, that statement you made right there is the reason why I like dealing with you, and is that you're like, look, one of the things that might come out your mouth that I would expect it to say, you know what, if the person that stole all those tools did it so they could make sure that their family has a good Christmas. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't think anybody would do that way to do that. But I mean, if it helps somebody get through it and say, you know what, maybe they needed it more than me, if that's the case. But that's what now. So moving forward to your employees. So now we're shifting gears back to the employees. What is your message to the employees? How are you changing this within the company? Because again, obviously they left the door unlocked and accidents happen. But how are you going to change it towards the company? Like, I know that I might do a memo to all my employees that state the doors, your vehicles must be locked in the evening. Now, if somebody comes and they jimmy it open and break the locks, I can't control that. And that's legit. Somebody broke in. I get it. But if I leave a door unlocked and somebody just opens the truck and steals my stuff, how is your company going to deal with that? Because I can see where you tell an employee, you're responsible. That vehicle's in your care. You did not lock the door. Moving forward now, if somebody breaks the lock and breaks a glass or does something, you can't, that just happens. But are you going to establish anything with your employees now about the policy of making sure the vehicles are locked? If not, they're partially or responsible for any theft. Is that any thought?
Yeah, that's more of Jalissa's department, and I'll let her kind of handle that portion of it. And on the follow up episode, we'll kind of tell you what we're going to do moving forward. I just know. Personally, I have personal relationships with every one of my guys, whether they're crew lead or whether they're the apprentices, because I hire everybody directly. I do the interview. I watch these guys grow. You know, I see them. And I'm pretty sure that me and this crew lead are going to have a discussion outside of work hours. And there's going to be a point in time where there's going to be an option to where hopefully he can do some stuff for me outside of our normal work hours and kind of meet me halfway, right? Because I've always been a guy that I'll meet you halfway, whether it's my kids, whether it's my workers, whether it's my friends. Like, I'll always meet you halfway. And I always try to be fair. I'm not, sometimes you might be mad at me because I'm trying to be fair, but I'm never going to do anything that's going to jeopardize their normal income. But yeah, you're right. That's something that we got to think about, man. It's something that we haven't even crossed that bridge yet because we're still getting, we're still in the insurance claim policy. We're still worrying about that and also our daily lives. But yeah, I'll have to let you know that on the next episode.
Okay. Yep. Well, we'll look forward to that follow-up and everything. But I will say, as we're ending here the stream, Jay, I'm sorry that it happened. Ultimate professional is always working through it. And I'm sure you'll come to the right decision. I have no doubt in my mind how you'll address it and how you'll address it moving forward. I definitely believe it should be a policy. When you get a number of employees, it becomes one of those things where they're made aware, that type of thing. So moving forward, hopefully you'll come back and obviously you'll come back. You're my co-host. But we will have a special episode and we will keep everybody up to date on what happened. And again, so everybody out there, we thank you for joining us today on this special stream, and all of you out there that said the great things to Jay, we appreciate it. We're all one big family. So again, just keep hanging in there, Jay, as always.
Yep. It's all we can do.
All right, everybody. Well, that's going to be it for our special episode. Thank you all for joining us over on the chats on the multiple platforms. Check us out again on Thursday nights, as always, which is our normal time, but always look for a possible stream that comes up. So again, just always remember to subscribe to all those platforms. Till next time, folks, stay safe. God bless.
Listening to Electrify with your hosts Paul Abernathy and Jay, the Basement King Grunberg.